Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
Welcome back to Building Passive Income. I'm CREI Colin. Yesterday, we covered the basics of due diligence. Today, we're getting tactical. I'm going to walk you through the due diligence timeline. What happens during those 30, 60, or 90 days? What should you be doing? When should you be doing it? This is the framework we use to stay on track. Let's dive in. First, let's talk about how long due diligence takes. Due diligence periods are often around 30 days, but vary based on deal complexity. For larger deals or more complicated properties, you might negotiate 45, 60, or even 90 days. Key timelines are typically outlined in the LOI and finalized in the purchase agreement. Once you're under contract, the clock starts ticking, so you need to move with urgency and structure, and you need to know what to do when. Here's the thing. Due diligence is not something you can wing. You need a plan. You need a checklist. You need to know exactly what to do on day 1, day 10, day 20, and so on. I learned this the hard way. On my first deal, I didn't have a defined process. I was ordering inspections late. I was requesting documents at the last minute. It was chaotic, and I almost missed my due diligence deadline. Since then, I've developed a system, a step-by-step process that I follow on every deal, and that's what I'm going to share with you today. Due diligence is a race against the clock, but it's also a process of eliminating uncertainty. Let me break it down week by week. Week 1, initial review and document collection. The first week is all about gathering information and doing an initial review. Here's what you're doing. Day 1, 2, review the purchase and sale agreement, PSA. Your attorney should review the PSA immediately. Make sure the terms match what you agreed to in the LOI. Look for purchase price, earnest money deposit, due diligence period, closing date, contingencies, especially around contingencies and timelines, seller representations and warranties. Make sure everything is correct. If there are any discrepancies, address them immediately. Day 1, 3. Request and review all documents from the seller. You'll send the seller a due diligence request list. This should be a comprehensive list of all the documents you need. This includes current rent roll, all lease agreements, operating statements for the past 3 years, tax returns for the past 3 years, property tax bills, insurance policies, utility bills for the past 12 months, vendor contracts, landscaping, trash, pest control, etc., capital expenditure history, property condition reports, if available, environmental reports, if available, title commitment and survey, certificates of occupancy, zoning letters, any pending litigation or code violations. Document delivery timelines can vary, so request these documents immediately. Don't wait. Day 3 to 5, initial financial review. Once you receive the documents, start reviewing them. Review the rent roll and operating statements. Look for obvious red flags. Are the rents in line with market rates? Are the expenses reasonable? Are there any major discrepancies? Compare the rent roll to the operating statements. Do the numbers match? Look at the lease expiration schedule. Are there a lot of leases expiring soon? That's a risk. Look at delinquencies. Are there tenants who aren't paying rent? That's a problem. Focus on identifying deal breakers early before spending capital on reports. This initial review should take a few hours. You're not going deep yet. You're just looking for obvious issues. If you find something major, you might walk away right here. No point spending money on inspections if the deal is already dead. Day 5 to 7. Order third-party reports. Order your property condition assessment, PCA, Phase 1 environmental report, and appraisal. These reports take 2 to 3 weeks to complete, so order them early. Here's who you're calling. A commercial property inspector for the PCA. An environmental consultant for the Phase 1. An appraiser, usually ordered by your lender. Get quotes from multiple vendors. Compare prices and timelines. Make sure the vendors are experienced with commercial properties. Don't hire a residential inspector for a commercial deal. Day 5 to 7. Schedule property visit. Schedule a site visit. Plan to spend at least half a day at the property. Coordinate with the seller or property manager. Let them know you want to walk the units, inspect the common areas, and review the property. If possible, schedule this visit for week 2. That gives you time to review the documents first. Week 2, deep dive and inspections. Week 2 is when you go deep. Day 8 to 10, conduct property visit. Visit the property. Review a meaningful sample of units. I like to walk at least 10 to 20% of the units. If it's a 100-unit property, I walk 10 to 20 units. Look at unit condition. Are the units in good shape, or do they need work? Appliances. Are they old? Do they work? Flooring. Is the carpet stained? Is the flooring damaged? Bathrooms and kitchens. Are they updated, or are they dated? Common areas. Are they clean and well-maintained? Roof. Can you see any obvious damage? Parking lot. Is the asphalt in good condition? Landscaping. Is the property well-maintained? Mechanical systems. Where are the HVAC units? Are they old? Take notes. Take photos. Ask questions. Talk to the property manager. Ask about tenant turnover, maintenance issues, delinquencies, market rents, competition. Be cautious with direct tenant interaction unless coordinated through management. This site visit is critical. It gives you a feel for the property that you can't get from documents. Day 8 to 14, financial deep dive. Now you're digging into the financials. Compare the rent roll to the lease agreements. Make sure the rents match. Check the lease start dates and expiration dates. Cash flow verification should tie back to actual deposits, not just reported figures. Look for discrepancies between the rent roll and the leases, below market rents, unusual lease terms, renewal options, tenant improvement allowances. Review the operating statements line by line. Compare them to your underwriting assumptions. Look for unusual expenses, missing expenses. For example, is there a management fee? If not, add one. One-time expenses that won't recur. Expenses that seem too low. Request bank statements for the past 12 months. Compare the deposits to the rent roll. This verifies the income. Request tax returns for the past 3 years. Compare them to the operating statements. Do they match? If there are discrepancies, ask the seller to explain them. Day 10 to 14, lease audit. Review every lease. Yes, every single one. This is tedious, but it's important. Look for lease terms. How long is the lease? When does it expire? Rent. What's the monthly rent? Does it match the rent roll? Rent escalations. Does the rent increase annually? Renewal options. Does the tenant have the right to renew? Termination clauses. Can the tenant break the lease early? Tenant responsibilities. Who pays utilities? Who's responsible for maintenance? Tenant improvement allowances. Did the landlord give the tenant money for improvements? Also look for concessions, side agreements, and delinquency patterns. Identify any problem leases. For example, leases with below market rents, leases with unfavorable terms, leases expiring soon. Create a lease abstract. This is a summary of the key terms of each lease. It makes it easier to review and reference later. Day 10 to 14, title and survey review. Your attorney should review the title commitment and survey. The title commitment shows any liens, easements, or encumbrances on the property. Look for liens. Are there any outstanding liens? These need to be cleared before closing. Easements. Are there any easements that affect the property? For example, a utility easement. Encroachments. Does the survey show any encroachments? For example, a neighbor's fence on your property. Boundary disputes. Are there any boundary disputes? Make sure there are no title defects that would prevent you from owning the property. If there are issues, work with your attorney to resolve them before closing. Week 3. Third-party reports and analysis. By week 3, your third-party reports should be coming in. Day 15, 21. Review Property Condition Assessment, PCA. The PCA will identify any deferred maintenance or capital expenditures needed. The report will typically include immediate repairs, things that need to be fixed now, safety issues, code violations. Short-term repairs, things that need to be fixed in the next 1 to 2 years. Long-term capital expenditures, things that need to be replaced in the next 3 to 5 years. Roof, HVAC, parking lot. Pay close attention to the cost estimates. Add these costs to your underwriting model. Make sure the deal still works. For example, if the PCA identifies $50,000 in immediate repairs, $100,000 in short-term repairs, $300,000 in long-term capital expenditures, you need to factor these costs into your budget. If the costs are higher than expected, you might need to renegotiate the price. Day 1521, review Phase 1 environmental report. The Phase 1 will identify any environmental concerns. The report will include site history. What was the property used for in the past? Recognized environmental conditions, RECs. Are there any potential environmental issues? Recommendations. Does the consultant recommend a Phase 2? If the Phase 1 identifies a REC, you may need to order a Phase 2. A Phase 2 involves soil and groundwater testing. It's expensive, typically $10,000 to $30,000, and time-consuming, 2 to 3 weeks. But it's necessary if there's a potential environmental issue. Common RECs include underground storage tanks, asbestos, lead paint, soil contamination from previous industrial use. If the Phase 2 confirms contamination, this introduces significant risk and requires careful evaluation. You might need to walk away. Or you might need to negotiate a significant price reduction to cover the cost of remediation. Day 1521, review appraisal. The appraisal will give you an independent valuation of the property. The appraiser will use three approaches. Sales comparison approach. What have similar properties sold for? Income approach. What's the property worth based on its income? Cost approach. What would it cost to replace the property? The appraiser will give you a final value based on these approaches. If the appraisal comes in at or above your purchase price, great, you're good to go. If the appraisal comes in lower than your purchase price, this may impact your financing structure or required equity. Your lender will only lend based on the appraised value. So if the appraisal is low, you'll need to bring more equity to the deal. Or you'll need to renegotiate the price. Day 1521. Finalize financing. By now, you should be working closely with your lender. They'll need copies of all your due diligence reports, property condition assessment, Phase 1 environmental appraisal, rent roll, operating statements, lease agreements. Make sure your financing is on track. The last thing you want is a financing issue at the last minute. Confirm loan amount, interest rate, loan term, amortization period, prepayment penalties, closing costs. Make sure the loan terms match what you were quoted. Week 4, final review and decision. Week 4 is decision time. Day 22 to 25, compile all findings. Gather all your due diligence findings. Create a summary document. List all the issues you've identified. Financial discrepancies, physical condition problems, legal or title issues, environmental concerns. Quantify the impact of each issue. How much will it cost to fix? How does it affect your returns? For example, the PCA identified $200,000 in deferred maintenance. The rent roll has $50,000 in annual income from delinquent tenants. The appraisal came in $300,000 below the purchase price. Add up the total impact. This is where you quantify your leverage. Day 25-28. Decide. Go, renegotiate, or walk away. At this point, you're making a capital decision. You have three options. Option 1. Move forward as planned. If everything checks out and the deal still meets your criteria, move forward. Remove your due diligence contingency. You're committed to closing. Option 2. Renegotiate. If you found issues, you can ask the seller to fix them or reduce the price. For example, we found $200,000 in deferred maintenance and $50,000 in income from delinquent tenants. We need a $250,000 price reduction to move forward. The seller might agree. They might counter with a smaller reduction. Or they might refuse. If they counter, you need to decide if the new price works for you. Option 3, walk away. If the issues are too significant, walk away. If you're still within your due diligence period, you typically retain your earnest money if within contingency periods. If you're past the due diligence period, you'll lose your earnest money. But that's better than buying a bad deal. Day 2830, remove contingencies or terminate. If you're moving forward, you'll remove your due diligence contingency. This means you're committed to closing. Your earnest money becomes non-refundable, unless there's a financing contingency or other contingency. If you're walking away, you'll send a termination notice to the seller. Make sure you do this before the due diligence deadline. What if you need more time? Sometimes 30 days isn't enough. Maybe the seller was slow to provide documents. Maybe the inspections took longer than expected. Maybe you need more time to finalize financing. If you need more time, ask for an extension. Extensions should be requested proactively and supported by clear progress. Most sellers will grant a short extension, 5 to 10 days, if you're making progress and acting in good faith. But don't abuse this. If due diligence drags on too long, sellers may start looking for backup buyers. If you need an extension, ask early. Don't wait until the last day. The goal isn't just to complete due diligence. It's to make a confident decision before your options disappear. All right, let's recap the due diligence timeline. Week 1. Initial review and document collection. Review the PSA, especially contingencies and timelines. Request documents from the seller. Initial financial review, focus on identifying deal breakers early. Order third-party reports. Schedule property visit. Week 2, deep dive and inspections. Conduct property visit. Review a meaningful sample of units. Financial deep dive. Verify cash flow ties to actual deposits. Lease audit. Look for concessions, side agreements, and delinquency patterns. Title and survey review. Week 3. Third-party reports and analysis. Review PCA. Review Phase 1 environmental. Review appraisal. Finalize financing. Week 4. Final review and decision. Compile findings and quantify leverage. Make a capital decision. Go, renegotiate, or walk away. Remove contingencies or terminate. This is the framework we use to stay on track. Tomorrow, we're talking about building your due diligence team. Who do you need? What do they do? And we'll have a special guest, Tax Pro Tina. She's going to share insights on the role of a CPA in the due diligence process. Thanks for listening. I'm CREI Colin. Let's keep building passive income together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free Passive Investor Coaching Program at PassiveInvestorCoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.